Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your steadfast love for your church and your children. Your heart is always on those that are lost, and you rejoice when your lost children are brought home. Through the suffering of your own Son, you restore our relationship with you, so we can now stand in your grace and call you Abba Father. Lord, we pray for the missionaries that were sent out by this church and the short-term missions team that will be sent to Malawi, East Asia, and Taiwan. Lord, we pray that they will be able to minister to the unreached groups and work with the local co-workers effectively. And we pray that one day people from all nations and all tongues will come together to worship and praise you. We also pray for our brothers, sisters, and co-workers among us who may be struggling with their health and emotional needs. May you comfort them and sustain them with your strength. Today, our hearts are especially heavy for the tragedy that happened in the church in Charleston, South Carolina. We pray for the victims and families and the extraordinary mercy and forgiveness that the families have shown to the person who murdered their loved ones. In the midst of this deep darkness, your light shines through your people in Charleston. You have taught us that hatred or revenge is never the answer. Only your sacrificial love and your word can convict and change people's hearts. We know that even a physical church like this is not a true sanctuary away from the turmoils in this world anymore. We can only find a true sanctuary when we abide in you. Well, Father, as we study the passage today, let us know your heart and let us care about what you care about. Let us know what brings you joy and what brings you sorrows. Use each one of us as a vessel to share your love and truth in the communities we live in. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is A Father's Heart. As today is Father's Day, I want to share a childhood story with you about my father and myself. When I was young, my father used to surprise me by bringing some fresh hot pastries from different bakeries in Taipei when he came home from work. And sometimes, as soon as I heard the doorbell, I would run over and search around my father to see if there might be some good stuff that he brought back that day. And after I came to the U.S. for my graduate school, my father would continue to send me a box of mooncakes every year right before the Mid-Autumn Festival. And when I look at the expensive postage of the express mail, because my father wanted to make sure that I would have the mooncakes fresh, I was deeply touched because I realized the extravagant love my father has poured on me. So my father passed away a few years ago, but I like to tell the stories about my father to my children. And my daughter, Crystal, recently moved to New York City for her graduate school study. But she will frequently come home to visit us. And before she hop on the train, sometimes she will walk a long way to go to a bakery that has some pastries like what you can get in Taipei. And she will bring them to me. She will bring them home and then say, "Daddy, I got a surprise for you." And while I do like the pastries she brought back to me, it is the fact that she cares about what I like and will actually take some extra time and effort to do it that really warms my heart. And actually, it's just not the pastries. The thing that really touched me is when she was young, she
She really took care of her little brother Jason. When Jason was learning to walk, to stand, to jump, and to play. Today is Father's Day, and I want to use this special occasion to say thank you to all the fathers in our congregation. So my son sometimes asks me, how come that only mothers got to stand up during the Mother's Day? How about the fathers? So today, if you don't mind, I would like to invite all the fathers to stand up. Can we say thank you to all our fathers? Can we have all the fathers to stand up? Thank you. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to thank you for raising your children according to God's instruction. I want to thank you, all the fathers, for bringing your children to the church so they have a chance to listen to God's word. I want to thank you for all the hard work you ever did to raise and to feed your family. And more importantly, I want to thank you for the time you ever spent with your little ones. And anything you did to get your children to know that you truly love them. So we want to say thank you to all the fathers. Now, just like me, not all of your fathers are still around. And sometimes we regret for not caring for our parents enough while they were still alive. There is a Chinese proverb that really expresses this feeling. It's very poetic. I'm going to take a risk to translate it. It goes like this. The tree wants to stand still, but the wind would not stop blowing. The children want to care for their parents, but they are no more. So what this proverb said was that when you were young, your parents were so busy taking care of you, sometimes they couldn't even get a moment of rest. Things were happening all the time. Just like the tree wanted to stop, but couldn't. You were always busy. But one day you grow up and you want to take care for your parents, but they are no more. They pass away. It reminds us the regrets we may have for not being able to serve our beloved parents once they leave us. But all of us have a Heavenly Father. Do we know what brings our Heavenly Father sorrows? And what brings him joy? Do we know his heart? A few weeks ago, the youth ministry conducted its first ever workshop to address the issue of homosexuality. After the workshop, a youth counselor and parent told me that she observed that many in our congregation still feel very uneasy to live or work among gays or lesbians. And sometimes it looks like we're more concerned about protecting our rights as parents or as Christians than trying to understand what we are called to a time like this. And I hope today's message will shed some light on where our Heavenly Father's heart is on this matter. Today's passage is from Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. A passage that most of us are familiar with. And before we read the scripture, I want to give you some context. This passage is typically referred to as the parable of the prodigal son. But it really deals with two sons, the younger son and the older son. And more importantly, it deals with the heart of the father. So before we dive into the passage, let's look at the context, which is right before this passage. Luke 15, verse 1 to 10. In the beginning, we saw that Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling about the fact that Jesus was spending too much time with the tax collectors and sinners, and they were considered unclean. And in response to these accusations from the Pharisees, Jesus told three parables. The first parable was about an owner of 100 sheep seeking for lost sheep, while leaving the other 99 behind. The second parable was about a woman who owned 10 coins seeking for lost one. In both cases, once they found the lost one, they celebrated with friends and neighbors. So in verse 10, Jesus emphasized that there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. So with that in mind, let's read the passage. Could we bring up the scripture? Luke 15, 11 to 32. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to you. By the way, the passage is pretty long today, so you can be seated. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey to a far, far away country. And then he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the parts that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. He was angry. He refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. May God bless the reading of his word. Okay, so we're going to look at the younger son first. There is a sharp contrast between the heart of the younger son and the heart of the father. The first thing about the younger son, his heart was self-seeking. In the beginning of the story, he asked for his inheritance while his father was still alive. Now, this will be considered deeply disrespectful even today, and will be considered entirely outrageous during Jesus' time in the Middle East. Actually, some fathers would just drop their children away if they say something like that. Being a younger son, he was supposed to receive one-third of his father's property. Because in the Jewish tradition, the oldest brother will get double portions. But think about this. If you have to give your son one third of your property, it's going to disrupt your life significantly. In the case of this father, he might have to sell some of his land. However, the father let him go with the money and did not hold it back, respecting his son's free will while agonizing over the loss of his child. Now, sometimes we, as children, have no idea the kinds of sacrifice our parents made to let us fulfill our dreams. When I was young, I lived in Taipei, which was very hot and humid most of the time. So whenever I went out with my mom, I would say, "Mom, please, please, let me take the taxi. I have air conditioning. I don't want to take the bus. Right? It's crowded and it's hot in a hot day." So my mom would tell me that, you know, it would be much cheaper to take the bus than the taxi. It's more like $5 or over $50 versus $50 in Taiwanese dollars. But at my insistence, sometimes my mom would give in. But on the other hand, when she went out on her own, she would always take a bus. So in 1982, I left Taiwan for the U.S. for my graduate study. And my parents had to put together $20,000. In 1982, that was a lot of money to fund my trip and my study. So that was almost like a third of the cost of the apartment we had in Taipei. It definitely took a big bite out of my parents' savings. And I asked my father, "Where did this money come from?" And he told me that my mom has saved over many, many years for your trip to the U.S. and for your study. And I suddenly realized how self-seeking I was as a child when I always insisted on taking a taxi for the comfort while she was trying very hard to save money for my trip and my study to the U.S. So the first point is that as a younger son, his heart was self-seeking, and like many of us. The second point is that his heart was following the flesh. The younger son not only left the family, he practically left all the moral values, the work ethics, and everything associated with the family. He just left. He did what was pleasing his flesh. The Bible says that he squandered his property in reckless living. Eventually, he ran out of money and was hired to feed pigs, but could not even get the food that the pigs ate. This is very tragic, especially for a Jew, since pigs were considered unclean by the Jews. Look at his identity. His identity changed from a son in his father's household to a hired hand in a foreign country, doing the lowly task of feeding pigs. Galatians 6:8 tells us, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." So the younger son followed where his flesh would lead him, and eventually he sank into the depths of his misery. So that was the second point. His heart was following the flesh. But it was at this bottom, that his heart and attitude started to change. He realized he had sinned against God and his father, and he was ready to be treated like a servant in his father's household, as long as his father is willing to take him back. All he wanted was his father's mercy. So this is the third point about his heart. His heart was finally repentant. He changed, his heart changed from that of son that is demanding his rights and what he wanted to a humble sinner and servant that knows he was not even worthy of his father's forgiveness. And this humble attitude in the heart is really the turning point and is the essence of what is required in true repentance. So that was the heart of the son. Let's look at the heart of the father. His heart was always longing for his lost son. But his son rejected his love in the beginning. The younger son did not realize that his father had been eagerly awaiting for his return. His heart was longing. Secondly, his heart was full of compassion. Before the younger son could say anything on the way back, his father saw him and had compassion for him. He embraced him and kissed him. So his heart was full of compassion. Third thing is his heart was forgiving and merciful. Before his younger son could finish his complete sentence, his repentance speech, the father restored his sonship by putting a base robe and a ring on him. It is as if everything about the younger son's past had been wiped off and his sonship fully restored. His heart was merciful. Finally, not only that, he held a big feast with a fattened calf to celebrate his young son's return. So his heart rejoices when the lost is found. So dear brothers and sisters, this is a picture, even though not a complete picture, a picture of God's extravagant love and amazing grace for any sinner who repents. It doesn't matter how deep your sin is and how low you have sunk, His grace through the blood of Christ is always bigger and deeper than your sin. But He is also a God of justice. So Jesus had to pay the price for our sins before our sonship can be fully restored with the Heavenly Father. If anyone of us here is struggling with any sin that you thought that even God could not forgive, I want you to think twice. Please be assured that there is no sin that is deeper than His love, and there is no sin that the blood of Jesus cannot wash away. We just saw the tragedy from the church of Charleston. And one victim's family, actually the mother, said the following powerful words to the person who killed her daughter. She said that, "I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. You heard me. You hurt a lot of people, but God forgives you, and I forgive you." And this was broadcast over the whole nation. If God and this mother could forgive this person who murdered 9 people in the Bible study that opened arms to him, and God could forgive you no matter what you have done, but you must come with a repentant heart. Now we want to turn to the story of the older son. When the older son found out that his father killed a fattened calf for his younger son, he was so mad that he refused to go inside his own home. His father had to come out during the feast to entreat him. So let us look carefully at the arguments of the older brother. He claimed that he did not even get the young goat from his father to celebrate with his friends after serving so many years. But his father killed a fattened calf for a son who was sleeping with prostitutes. Do you think his anger is justified? I want you to think about it. Do you think his anger is justified? I thought many of us might agree in the beginning. You know, with the first glance of his arguments, that makes sense. But I think we want to observe a few things and ask a few questions. These questions are not just for the older brother, but also for ourselves. The first question, where is our heart? Where is our heart? The younger son who used to disobey his father was now inside the house. The older son who used to obey his father's commands was now outside the house. He refused to listen to his father anymore. The question is not where we are, but where each one of us, where each one of our hearts is. When we're worshiping in this sanctuary, is our heart connected to our Abba Father? The older brother did not care at all about the fact that his father had been suffering all these years from the pain of losing his younger son. Can someone love his father if he doesn't care about what his father cares about? So that's the first question. Where is the heart? Where is our heart? Where was the heart of the older brother? His heart was definitely not with his father. The second question is, what do we want? Really, what do we really want? Sadly, the older person emphasized that his years of service deserve a young goat. In other words, he was trying to use his hard work to earn a favor from his father. In some way, he was considering his father more like a taskmaster. And when he did not receive the reward he thought he deserved, he could not control his anger anymore. Do we serve God with an attitude like that? Do we use our service to God to exchange for something we want in life? Maybe a perfect marriage, a wonderful job, or even a ministry position. And what is our reaction when we don't get what we want in our life? Do we get angry with God? A lot of times we focus more on the blessings instead of a person who gives us blessings. Just like when I was a child, when my father came back, I was focused on what he would bring back to me instead of focusing on the fact that my father was with me. And some of us would answer, we do all this because we want eternal life. But what is the definition of eternal life? Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17:3, gave us the definition. The eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. So the words to know in the Bible usually means to have a very intimate relationship with someone. For example, you know about Obama, but you don't really know Obama. Only Michelle really knows Obama, right? Because they have the intimate relationship. So being in the presence of God is a reward in itself. And the older brother was with his father, but he did not consider that a reward. And he just wanted a goat. And he definitely did not know his father enough. He did not know his heart. So that's the second question for the older brother and for all of us. What do we really want? And why are you serving in the church? What's the real motive? The third question is, who are we? Who are we? His father reminded the older brother that everything that he had was the older son's. And technically, that's true, right? Because the younger son took one third. The remaining two thirds all belong to the older brother. But more importantly, the loving father is telling him, you are my son. You are not a hired hand. You are not a slave. You are in this family. Everything I have is yours. So we serve our father out of love and gratitude, not out of obligations or the desire to earn something. Because we are His sons. And if we don't recognize our position in God's family, serving the Lord can make us feel like a slave because we forget who we really are. Galatians 3:26 tells us, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." So that's the third question. Who are we? We are His children. The fourth question is, who is our brother? The older son was actually more interested in celebrating with his friends than with his father when his younger brother came back. And not only that, he called him this son of yours. He could not even call him a brother anymore. So he apparently did not welcome his return. Actually, the return of the younger son might take away some of his properties. So it reminds us of the statement from Cain after he killed his own brother Abel. Am I my brother's keeper? So who is the brother or sister in this church that we need to care for? So who is our brother? So these are the questions that we want to ask the older brother and ourselves. In this parable, there are really three key roles. The Father, who represents our Heavenly Father, His heart longs for the return of anyone who is lost, any of His children. His heart is full of mercy and compassion. He forgives those that repent, and He forgets all their wrongdoings. His heart rejoices when His lost children are brought back. And His heart is generous. He is willing to share everything He has with His children. He doesn't hold anything back. And His heart is patient with those who are either self-seeking or self-righteous. The younger son represents any one of us who rejects God's love and seeking self-fulfillment in his or her own ways. The older son represents a self-righteous person, or perhaps a very religious person, like the Pharisees and scribes, who respond negatively to Jesus dining with sinners. Both of them were sons, but they became slaves. Slaves in their own bondage, in this bondage of sin. But both were lost because they did not know their father's heart. At the end of Luke 15, it did not say whether the older son eventually entered the house, but that's the beauty of it. Because it's still a question to all Christians today, who may be busy condemning the sinners, but refuse to seek out those that were lost and to build relationships with them, and to celebrate and rejoice when one sinner repents. So the story makes us wonder, what kind of son will bring the father joy and not sorrows? And what kind of brother you wish you had when you were lost? Will he come out to search for you? The Bible did give us the answer. Our Abba Father sent Jesus. It was clear that Jesus used these three parables in Luke 15 to show the heart of the Father and His own mission, which is described in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Because that's His Father's will. That pleased His Father. He abides in His Father as the Father abides in Him. His heart is always connected to His Father's heart. His mission is to bring every one of us home so that we can stand in the grace of our Father and enjoy the feast of the Lamb. And like the younger son, he was never self-seeking. He gave up his throne to live among us, and frequently could not even find a place to rest. Unlike the older son, he was not self-righteous. He always seek out the lost ones, and spends time with them. In Tim Keller's book, The Prodigal God, which is based on the same passage, he called Jesus the true elder brother that we all wish we had. So now let's get back to the question in the beginning that the youth pastor and counselor raised. What are we called to do in a time like this, when Christian values are under attack from many directions? Like the Pharisees, we may appear to be physically close to God, or like the younger brother within these four walls of the church, and we have access to God's word. But we may end up being outside of God's blessings if our heart is not connected to His heart. If we refuse to engage those, we have never had access to God's love and truth. And this is why our church sends our missionaries and show their missions teams to many places in the world where there are unreached groups. But how about those of us who stay here in New Jersey? Are there unreached groups in the Somerset County? Many of us have colleagues who are gays or lesbians, or Hindus who worship idols, or those who grew up to become atheists. We are not to stay away from them just because their values are different from us, but to find opportunities to engage them as Jesus did. What is the heart of our Heavenly Father? He is always seeking for the lost. Jesus was willing to take the risk and to bring them back to our Abba Father. How about you and me? Let's pray.
Dear Abba Father,
our hearts are so far away from your heart. You are always actively seeking for the lost, while we frequently stay in our own comfort zones. Lord, put one lost soul in our heart. Use us as a vessel to bring him or her to you, so that there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. In Christ's name, amen.